Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable and to our book pick segment. For those of you who are new to the program, where have you been? No. We have a segment that we do each and every Tuesday on the show, which is our book pick segment. And this is a very simple segment where we invite independent booksellers throughout our seven-state region to come in and tell us about great books that they have found and great books that they are selling at their stores and things that perhaps have slipped our notice for some reason or another, which is why I love when Matt Tannenbaum comes in. Matt is the owner of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, and Matt has this very keen sense of finding books that I even though I spend a lot of time with books, I've never heard of. And they're all great, and they're all cool, and he comes in and tells us about them, and we couldn't be more thrilled. It's been a long time since we've seen you, sir. I've missed you.
Last spring, I think I was here. I missed the summer. Lord. I missed the fall, but now I'm back. And last fall, the Nobel people awarded the prize for literature to Patrick Modiano.
Yes.
And I had not heard of him.
Nope.
Godin, David Godin Publishers out in Boston, one of our good publishing people, had already three of his titles, one a kid's book and two novels. And then Yale came out with, had previously announced, even before he won the prize, their collection of three novellas called Suspended Sentences. Each of these books is translated by different translators. I read them all in about a five-day period a couple of weeks ago. I missed them. I mean, I got them in the fall when they came in, and they are sweet. They're beautiful.
Fully immersed yourself.
I did. Modiano. I did. Modiano. The cover of the Suspended Sentences from the Yale University
Press.
It's haunting.
It's gorgeous.
Shall I hold it up somewhere?
Yeah. Well, here.
You hold it up.
Yes, I'll show it right here, and then whatever camera can get it. But you can also see it. We'll have this up on our website, and as well as your website, of course. But WAMC.org.
Fog-drenched films. Smoky Edith Piaf laments and Brassai's nocturnal photographs of post-war Paris. That's what that picture evoked for me. And that's what his writing evokes for me. Modiano was the son of a Jew who would not wear a star during the occupation. He was arrested by the Gestapo, and before he could be transported to the death camp, was freed by someone, and Modiano never knew who. Turns out his dad was a member of the black market, part of the black market, who collaborated with the Gestapo. So out of this quote-unquote moral ambiguity, the young writer grew up wanting to know about his past, about the past of his country, and he's written these incredible books. Honeymoon, the third of the books that I read, was probably the saddest book I've read in 40 years. It's a book that as I was reading it, I remembered years ago wanting to be a young writer. I said, "Oh, I want to write this book," and I hadn't had that feeling until then. Until
you
want
to write a sad book?
Well, it was a sad book is a nice book to write.
Well, I know.
Yeah. I know. But it was, and then I realized I didn't want to write it. I wanted to have lived it. I mean, I was so imbued with this character. With this guy who is on this search.
I have so many questions, but they're all psychological. So
yeah. Okay, yeah. Don't. I'm not going to tell you any of my dreams, Joe. So Patrick Modiano, three books. Suspended Sentences is three novellas. Also, all going back, all dealing with his childhood and dealing with that time of his father's disappearance or reappearance or the shady characters who he knew. And then one of his novels, Missing Person, the character has amnesia. He works for a detective agency, and so he knows how to find out things. So he finds a picture that he might have been in, that might have been him years ago, and he takes it around to people, and they say, "Oh yeah, that's you." And your name was Freddie. And then he follows the trail for Freddie, and he finds out he's not Freddie. So Modiano creates these what ifs. What if this had happened? And this is, I mean, this is what fiction is. This is what literature is. And Modiano does it really well.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I have not read these. I'm looking at the book Suspended Sentences, which is the one from Yale. And three novellas, they were published in the 80s and early 90s,
right,
and are put together for the first time for this collection. But they seem to almost be timeless in a sense, that they don't really evoke a certain...
They are all from the 40s through the 60s,
okay,
or 70s.
All right, so that period of time.
Yeah. So the third one...
Because they seem almost dreamlike and just looking
it's,
at it.
It's absolutely dreamlike. So and he goes back and forth. He and in one of, I think, the third book...
So I did end up asking about your dreams.
And not my dream. All right, I'm going to shut up now.
All right. Patrick Modiano. So there's Suspended Sentences, Missing Person, and Honeymoon. And they're all out. They're all available. And I think it's safe to say that you win the Nobel Peace Prize for Literature for
Literature.
A reason.
For good stuff.
Yes.
For good stuff.
All right.
I've been reading some jaded comments about, you know, why should he have won? But
well, you're always going to get that.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
The next book is another one that came out last fall that I think my research shows that you didn't have this one on your show at all. The Georgetown Set by Greg Herkin. Did you talk about this book at all?
Let me see. I did not.
Did you read it?
I did not.
Greg Herkin is a professor of political science out in California, and he's written about the Alsup brothers, Joe and Stuart Alsup, who hosted Sunday night dinners in Georgetown from during the post-war period. The Cold War, Herkin says the policies, he states very early in the book, he says, the policies and stratagems that ultimately brought down the Soviet Union, quote unquote, and helped bring about the world we live in today began with a simple invitation to cocktails and dinner.
Mm.
So all these guys, the Alsups and the young Senator Kennedy and his wife, Alan Dulles, the CIA guy who Kennedy... ultimately had a hard time with, and other CIA guys, other journalists like Catherine Graham and Phil Graham from the Washington Post, all lived within walking distance of each other in Georgetown in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And this is a fascinating book. It's a very gossipy book, and he really enjoys digging in and getting all the connections. What I really loved was a friend of mine who was tangentially involved at the time. When I wrote to him about this book, he said, well, yeah, sure. Cold War policy was conceived in an alcoholic haze and interpreted in straight ideology, them versus us. And you know, if you've ever had a Sunday night
martini.
Well,
thank God we don't do that anymore, right?
So that was a fascinating read.
There, just from the jacket, this was a smaller, cozier Washington, utterly unlike today's capital, where presidents made foreign policy in consultation with reporters and professors over martinis and hors d'oeuvres, and columnists like the Alsops promoted those policies in the next day's papers. Together, they navigated the perilous years of the Cold War, yielding triumphs and tragedies with very real consequences for present-day America and the world. That's fascinating.
Very scary.
Really
very
cool.
Scary.
Yeah, but it's a neat story.
Yeah, it's a great, great story, and very well told.
The Georgetown Set, Friends and Rivals in Cold War Washington by Greg Herkin, published by Knopf.
Published by Random House, part of Knopf is part of Random House, is
yes.
The next book I have, and this is completely different than Greg Herkin's Georgetown Set. This shows how... is it the breadth of my reading, or
yes.
Is it the
well, you're willing to
wildest.
Be adventurous in your reading.
That's
you're willing to take a chance on something that you don't necessarily, you know, an author you don't know about. You're willing to take a chance and give it a shot and share with us the results.
Kelly Link, lives in Northampton. I actually went to a reading. I heard her give a reading some years ago, maybe 7-8 years ago. And I can't remember what the story was, but I love the reading. And I've been following her ever since. And this new book of hers, Get in Trouble, Stories. I think there are 8 or 9 stories. I read. I loved the first one. I couldn't read the second. I fell in love with the third. Didn't like the fourth. Thought the fifth was about the strangest that I tried to read. I finished it, but I might have skipped a couple of words. She puts words. She'll throw in sentences. Her sentences are not complete. You know, some are just phrases. She throws in sentences. She makes sentences that make me think. Oh, I remember. I wanted to write rock and roll lyrics. But I could never figure out how to be a rock and roller. She's a rock and roller. She can write these links, and she lives. She puts herself into these stories, and creates incredible images.
Another world,
if
you
will. This is great.
So, just real quick, read to me again what you have there. The first five stories.
The one. I love the first.
Okay, so that would mean. So that would obviously get you to the second one, right?
Right. Okay. I started reading the second. I couldn't read it.
All right. Then that was the royal. So then you still love the first one. So you go to the third one.
I skipped and I read the third one. Fell in love with the third one.
Okay. So there's enough to like sustain you.
Absolutely.
All right.
The fourth one
is tough.
Oh, I read it all the way through. I didn't like it.
Okay. And then the fifth one's just like.
The fifth one was a lot of blank spaces. The topography must have driven the production people wild.
Well, all right, I find that fascinating.
It was just
but
great.
I'm impressed.
But
you read it and then you're telling people about it, and curious folks will want to get
in
trouble.
Come by and take a look at Kelly Link. We'll talk about it. We'll read some passages together.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
We'll work through this. Kelly Link, Get in Trouble, Random House. All right, next up.
Publishing by Gail Godwin. And Joe, you love to find the books that I tell you about. I found this one on your website, and I want to thank you because I didn't know about it. Gail Godwin.
I love this human being.
Who's a good, you love her.
Yes.
I've not read her. I got to say, I've not read her novels.
She's been around for a long time. She's a wonderful novelist.
But this is a book called Publishing, A Writer's Memoir, and the cover, they got me by the cover. The cover is New York in the 50s.
Yeah.
And this was the world that I came. This is my bookselling world, not the '50s, but the late '60s and early '70s when New York skyscrapers were still the homes of Harcourt Brace on Third Avenue and Macmillan Uptown and Knopf over on East 50th Street and Harper on East 53rd. I knew these publishers. I knew these publishing houses, and I love the fact that she says in her book. Early on, she says, when she was just learning, just starting to write, I was writing because I couldn't help but write with no hope of being published.
Yeah.
But so that's a writer.
Yeah. And she went to the Iowa workshop.
Iowa workshop
was with Kurt Vonnegut, God's sake.
She did the
John
research.
Irving.
Research for his Slaughterhouse Five.
Yeah. Amazing stuff. And then her stories about how the publishing industry has changed from this picture that we see on the front cover.
I was just reading this, the story of when Penguin took over Viking.
Yeah.
And I'd heard these stories before, but now I'm hearing it. Now I'm reading it from a writer who was part of the group and who was having cocktails with the more cocktails, just like the old Georgetown set book. We have a theme going here. Writing and...
Cocktail time.
Never mind.
All right.
Last one.
Yes.
Do we have time?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Music Under the Moon, A History of the Berkshire Symphonic Festival by John G.W. Mahana. John Mahana, I think.
Okay.
Was county editor at the Berkshire Eagle in the 50s, and he wrote this history of Tanglewood.
And this is reprinted.
This is just reprinted. I got a call from his son a few weeks ago. He said, listen, my dad was such and such and wrote such and such, and let me send you a copy. And I looked at it, and I ordered a dozen copies because we don't have the summer crowds here for it yet. But it's in the window right now next to a little chapbook called, a poetry chapbook called The Mind of Winter. So we have this book about Tanglewood's Summertime,
right Music next to them. Under the Moon.
And it's a beautiful, very, very, it's a reporter. He was a reporter. And he's just a straightforward account of how Tanglewood came to be. Nice pictures, too. I love the book. So a paperback reprint, it's, and it's not badly done for a reprint.
Yeah, and I assume that the as far as the history is the history, right? But we look at what happened then from 1955, and we can sort of see how it has evolved over time.
This was a pretty what I've read of this is straightforward and very simple. The complicated union contracts, the desire to get it built. The shed was built in 1 year, and in the wintertime, they in the frozen ground, the pile drivers planted that building. They didn't close it in the first year because they ran out of money, so it was open to the elements, the shed, and then it was then they had a little more money the following year, and great aerial photography. Of the lawn,
people on the lawn, the parking lots,
right? Isn't that great?
It is great.
Yeah,
and just some great shots of big crowds and smaller crowds, and even some shots of it during the winter time, when it's closed down.
Great pictures of Koussevitzky.
A lot of Koussevitzky, yes,
wearing that great white suit. Do you see that white suit?
I did. It was a black and white book, so I didn't know if it was white.
You, it was a white suit because I borrowed that suit and I wore it on my wedding day. Little literary anecdote there.
How did that happen?
I'll tell you later. No, it was a secondhand store hat.
Oh,
hat
okay. So Koussevitzky didn't know that you had a suit.
No,
you didn't go knock on the door and say, "Hey, can I borrow your suit? I'm going to get married."
No, it was my wife bought a secondhand dress at a secondhand store, and the guy says, "Well, now that's something, what is it, borrowed blue, old and new?"
Yeah.
He says, "So what have you got?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "I got something you can borrow." So I wore Koussevitzky's white suit.
So you are of the same build, if you will, of Koussevitzky.
Not stature, but build.
Yeah. Right. Well, that to me, that's fascinating.
Joe, it's always good to be back here.
Yeah, I love having you here.
What do we got next? We have tonight at the bookstore a couple of events.
Go.
The Lennox All Town Read this year is focusing on Barbara Kingsolver's book Flight Behavior. This is the All Town Read is a project. I think it was started by Sharon Hawks at the library, and she's going to lead the discussion tonight. A book about issues that have to do with Lennox, even though it's not about Lennox.
Right.
So this is about environment, environmental protection, Kinder Morgan, EPA, Housatonic, PCB. And that's at 7 o'clock tonight. Also tonight, we double book without realizing it. Our haiku club begins tonight. Colin Harrington, our events manager, is starting a haiku club. Come and learn about haiku. He's bringing green tea and sake.
Wow.
Also. That'll be in the get lit part of the bookstore in the wine bar.
Wouldn't it be great if those two groups met together? That would be we'll talk a little, read Barbara Kingsolver, and then do a little environmental haiku.
That's right. Come on over, check it out.
All sounds great to me.
The next event, one more event. The next book signing is Chris Coggins from Simon's Rock co-wrote a book called Mapping Shangri-La. This is he is an expert on or a student of China, and it turns out that in 2001, China identified where Shangri-La is. Shangri-La, of course, is a fictional place,
right.
And it is now a center for tourism in China on the Tibetan border.
So
March 22nd, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Chris Coggins, Mapping Shangri-La.
So is that kind of like the places that find a North Pole?
No, North Pole exists.
Well, I know, but like where Santa's workshop and all that kind of
stuff. Oh, no, I don't want to talk about Santa.
Okay, all right. Okay. Matt Tannenbaum is our good friend. He is the proprietor of the bookstore in Lennox, Massachusetts. For goodness sakes, go visit them. 11 Housatonic Street in Lennox, Massachusetts. And tonight, if you walk through the door, if you go to the right, you can take part in haiku. If you go straight, you can be in part of the book club group with Barbara Kingsolver and which is great. I love Barbara Kingsolver. Okay. Go to the website, bookstoreinlenox.com, bookstoreinlenox.com for more information. You can also find all of our segments, and this one in particular, on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. We'll have the list posted. Matt will have the list posted, and all will be good. So you'll be back very soon. We won't have to wait as long next time.
No, I think maybe April 7th.
Excellent.
I already have a couple of books in line.
Great.
And Sophie's here. Your
daughter Sophie is here, which is lovely.
That's great.
Very nice to have you here. Family affair. We will be back in just a few moments. You're listening to The Roundtable.